We're going to continue this morning with our series, A Living Sacrifice. This is going to be part three. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Now, as of last week, we have come to the point of recognizing and using our God-given spiritual gifts as a part of the presenting of our bodies as a living sacrifice unto the Lord. Bodies means it's something you're going to get up and do. Amen? Amen. We have learned some necessary and important things about our spiritual gifts thus far. One of them is that some spiritual gifts are better than others. Some spiritual gifts, number two, are to be sought above other spiritual gifts. And in the third, the aspect of that, miraculous spiritual gifts, such as the gifts of tongues, that's languages, what that word means, healings and miracles, which exalt the individual more so than to edify the body, which is the local church, those would cease within the body, and of course, they had now have ceased within the body. 1 Corinthians 14:12 says, even so, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, and by the way, I hope you will become zealous of spiritual gifts. There's nothing wrong with that. To want to have more for which you could lay down in service to the Lord, it can't be anything wrong with that. He says, seek ye that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Amen. That's what they're for. 1 Corinthians 12:31, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And by the way, that more excellent way is this set of seven spiritual gifts now that has brought the church all the way from those early days right down to the end of the world. And in 1 Corinthians 13:8, he says that charity, which is love, never faileth. But whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether they be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, that's that gift of knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now, one of the most important facts concerning spiritual gifts is their actual purpose. We just read that we are to use whatever extraordinary talents or abilities that we may have been given for the edifying, that word means the building up of the church. It's what they're for. Some spiritual gifts are very different than others. They play a different role. One fills in this part, one fills in that part, one takes care of this business, one takes care of another, and the seven all together come together in the body, and they equip the body to do the job the Lord has put us here as a church to do. Amen. Spiritual gifts are specific to the individual believer, and they are, the Bible says, for profit. They're for profit. Now, sometimes we take the word profit and get it all misunderstood, but it's benefit. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal, but not necessarily or specifically for the profit of that individual believer. God gives you the gift, and then he gives you to the church with the gift. 1 Corinthians 12 and 18 says, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it has pleased him. That's an eye-opener to folks sometimes. You realize they're looking for a church and you don't know where to be, but it's God that sets the members in the body. It's not your decision. You let him show you. You let him do it. Yeah. And the Bible says that he gave some, in Ephesians 4:11, some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. And of course, that is spiritually as well as numerically. The gifts are for the church. But in the church, well, that's not the only place that you're going to use your spiritual gifts. I want you to think about that. You're going to use those extraordinary abilities in many areas of life, but always for God's glory, for which you will always give him the credit for all the good things in all things. Amen? Amen. Do you give God credit for a sunny day?
Amen.
See, boy, this is a pretty day. Or do you say, boy, the Lord sure gave us a pretty day. There's a difference. Amen? You get to do this as a representative of your church, of which you are a member, the Bible says, a member in particular. Now, we're going to get back now to the actual spiritual gifts themselves. There are seven spiritual gifts from the Lord that give us everything we need. It's a perfect system, if you will, to prosper and to succeed as a New Testament church. Romans 12, verse 6 lists these gifts for us, down through verse 8. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy or preach according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or teaching, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. These gifts are prophecy, which is preaching, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, ruling, and mercy. Now, last week we asked the question, does every believer have at least one of these spiritual gifts? I can't really prove that in the Bible. I know that everyone should have, and I know for sure that everyone can have. But until you actually see it, and you see it in practice and in work, you don't necessarily know for sure if it's there. Maybe it's there, but it's kind of hiding under the surface until it comes out. We are not only told to seek spiritual gifts, but we're told to seek the best gifts. Now, these seven are the best of them all that's ever been. And they're the only ones that are in force now, by the way. Are some of these better than others? Is the gift of ministry better than the gift of giving? Or the gift of teaching better than the gift of preaching? I'm not sure. I think it takes all of them. Matter of fact, I know that it takes all of them. I don't think that's really very important. I think you're going to be able to seek the gifts that God puts on your heart to seek without having to choose which one you think is going to be the best for you.
Amen.
Now, we are told to desire spiritual gifts. You say, well, I already have a spiritual gift. You just want one? That's it? We'd be hard-pressed if some of us in leadership only had one. I believe that God would have you desire more spiritual gifts than you now have. Now, 1 Corinthians 14:1, he said, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy or preach. Now, furthermore, I believe God is extra willing, if there be such a thing as God being extra willing. I believe that he is extra willing to grant those desires if you will be faithful to use them to build up the church. And guess who knows if you will be faithful to do that or not? He knows. You say, well, I wanted this spiritual gift, but God hadn't given me to it. Or given it to me. I guess it's the same either way. Maybe he knows something about your faithfulness that's coming that you don't know yet.
Amen.
I know this. I know that if you're faithful to use it to build up the church, he's going to give you everything you need. Now let's look at exactly what these gifts are. Prophecy, first off. This gift started out before we had the Word of God, as it is described in Jude, as being once for all delivered to the saints. As one to whom the Lord would specifically send his inspired word to be delivered to the church. That's why it says, prophesy according to the proportion of faith. That preacher, that pastor, or whatever office he might be holding in the church that's doing the preaching, he had to be confident that what he has been given is from the Lord and from nowhere else.
Amen.
And it has to match the scripture that they do have. Now, we don't get a direct inspiration from the Lord today, but we still have to have faith that what we do deliver to you is from the Lord, and it's what He wants delivered on this particular Sunday. I don't preach unless I am confident that what I'm preaching is given to us from the Lord for today. If I come in here some Sunday and tell you we're just going to sing today, it's going to probably be because that I don't have confidence that what I've been given is from the Lord. Because I'm not going to give you something that I don't believe in with all my heart that comes from Jesus. This is His church, not mine. This is His message, not mine.
Amen.
And it's to me just like it is to you.
Yes, sir.
Today, the ones who possess this gift of prophecy are commanded to preach the word. 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and the doctrine. 2 Timothy 2:15 commands us to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not to be ashamed, who are able to rightly divide the word of truth, which we have now been given. Now, we still preach what the Lord leads and what He commands and what He guides us to preach, but we do it from the already delivered Holy Scriptures. Now, some folks think, and I've seen this a time or two, some folks think that this gift allows them to simply get up and preach as God gives you what to say at the moment. Now, I will tell you that there are some occasions when that can and does happen. I have been put in positions that I didn't know I was going to be put in and had to speak on behalf of the Lord without having the opportunity to prepare to study. And I've seen God give me exactly what I needed to say at the time.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you something. Those who think that that's the way it happens all the time, let's just say it's very easy to identify them. Because that preparation is precious. And you don't get what you ought to have without it. By the way, men, before we go on to that, any of you want to preach the Word of God? Amen? Do you? Don't be shy. God knows the heart. He knows. This second one is ministry. Guess what word this is translated from? It's diakonia. It's the word from which we get our word what?
Deacon.
That's exactly right. This is the extraordinary ability to serve the body. And I'm not talking about your own body. I'm talking about the church. This is those folks who have the heart, the willingness, and the resolve to place the work of the Lord above their own needs and above their own requirements. These are the ones who turn down high pay and overtime to make sure the stage is ready for Vacation Bible School. You understand what I'm saying here? You know who these people are. They are the ones that work in the sound booth. They are the ones that serve the donuts, and they are the ones that make sure the Lord's Supper is prepared. They come early. And they stay late, and they are often not noticed, thanked, or appreciated. But they don't care because they're doing it for the Lord. That's what a servant looks like. That's an extraordinary gift. Often servants find themselves unnoticed. They're in the background. And sometimes they're unrecognized here. Now, I try to keep that from happening. I try to make sure that they know they're appreciated and that they know that somebody is noticing and appreciating what they do. But sometimes I fail in that. Sometimes they are unnoticed and unappreciated. But I'm going to assure you that will not happen when we get to heaven. Because that's not what Jesus said. We seem to think that it's the great preachers and the great soul winners and the great singers who are able to just melt the hearts of people with the Word of God in song. And we seem to think that those people that we deem greater are going to be the one with the most rewards and the biggest blessings in heaven. But that's not what Jesus said, is it?
That's right.
What did He say? Let me read it to you from Matthew 20, verse 25. Jesus called them unto Him. And He said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. They rule, in other words. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant.
Amen.
Now, this may not be a spiritual gift that is very popular for folks to seek, but it is one that an awful lot of believers will one day wish they had. The gift of the heart to be a servant. It takes a special heart to be a servant. It really does. And Jesus acknowledges that those, well, you heard what he said. Our next gift is teaching. Now, teaching is one of the most, if not the most, profitable gifts from the Lord that he has given to his churches. This is an area where often some of the biggest mistakes are made in our churches. There are those among us who obviously are gifted in the area of teaching. With a gift being so obvious, we often place them in positions of teaching before they're ready to be in positions of teaching. The gift of knowledge is gone. There's nobody going to just know what you ought to know and everything you need to know without studying, without preparation. One must know Bible doctrine before that person should be placed in a position as a teacher in the body, whether they're gifted or whether they're not.
Amen.
The most common area for error is with the children. Well, it's just the children, right? Well, it's just coloring and reading them some stories and wiping their noses. That's all there is to it, right?
No.
There are features.
In the beginning, as a church grows, there are never enough teachers. I mean, they're just never enough. Thus, if you are good with kids, you get the job whether you know your Bible yet or not. I'm not telling you it's the right thing to do, but that's what usually happens. Teaching is not just babysitting.
Amen.
The very basics of your Christian faith are learned primarily when you're a little tyke. That's where you really learn the basics. And if you don't know your doctrine, and if you don't know what not to say sometimes, because religion has invaded all of our domains, and we have been programmed through various exposures to do stupid things that are not in the Bible, and say stupid things that are not in the Bible, like, pray this prayer after me and you'll get saved, and junk like that. Well, those of you who are gifted to teach, you are responsible to the Lord to prepare yourselves. And I, as your pastor, am committed to helping you accomplish that. I want our teachers, especially those who are going to impress the minds that are most impressionable, which are our little guys, I want you to know your book. I want you to know Bible doctrine. I want you to know the plan of salvation and how to share it properly and the right way, without messing it up with a bunch of junk.
Amen.
And I want to do whatever I can to help you do that. Now, don't get the idea that I'm punishing you by dragging you off to a class or to other things. I'm not punishing you. I'm promoting you. I'm preparing you. I'm helping you. And I need you to see it that way, because that's the way it really is. We're going to do some work on that. We've grown enough now that we've got a good caliber of doctrine spread around, and we need to make sure everybody's filled in on all the blanks. Now, there are some gifts that require at least something of several other gifts to go along with them. And teaching is one of those. You can't just have the gift of teaching and that be enough. You know, the Bible says to seek the best gifts, seek more gifts. Well, if you're going to teach, you're going to need more than just the one spiritual gift of teaching. You're going to need the gift of ministry, because we must serve those we teach. You're going to need the gift of exhortation, because we must encourage those we teach, and we must invite them to come up higher and to reach other levels of faith. You're going to need the gift of ruling to keep your class under control, especially with the little tykes. And you're going to need diligence in order to be prepared for your class every week.
Amen.
And you're going to need the gift of mercy in order to show no favoritism and be no respecter of persons. Because the Lord doesn't want any teacher's pets. He wants them all to be your pet. Equal across the board. Amen?
Amen.
And the more complex your area of teaching, the more preparation for it will be required, both in knowledge and in how to present the truth in ways that are easy to understand and that are palatable to be received. We'll talk about one more gift today, and then we're going to continue, Lord willing, with the last three in our next presentation. This is Show Your Love Sunday, and I want you to have a little time to be able to do that after we close the service here in a little bit. With this last one that we're going to include for today, and there's going to be three more biggies to come, this last one is exhortation.
Amen.
Now, who'd I get that amen from? Do you remember when we began to study what it means to be a living sacrifice? When we first started out with this, do you remember how that it is not a command, but it is an invitation from the Lord? It's something that He invites you to do. He is motivating you to do it, but He's not commanding you or forcing you to or cracking the whip to make you or any of that stuff. The words, "I beseech you therefore, brethren," you know what that Greek word beseech is? It's parakaleo. Parakaleo. This word that is the gift of exhortation, you know what that Greek word is? It's parakaleo. It's the same Greek word. It's talking about people with the extraordinary ability to create a desire in others to come up higher, to be more than you've been, to reach up and become something that you didn't think you could be for the glory of God. Exhortation is priceless. It is an incredible thing. I want you to look at an example of this in the Bible. John answered, Luke 3, verse 16, saying unto them all, "I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable." Now catch this verse. "And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people." Every sermon should be an exhortation. Anyone can stand up and spout commandments and threaten consequences and demand obedience. Anybody can do that. You don't need a gift for that. All but the gift of exhortation. And it is a gift. Listening to some people, whether it be just in fellowship as we get together, whether it be who you're talking to after the service today, or whether they may be preaching from the pulpit or teaching a class, or in any of those scenarios where people are together and communication is happening. There are people who just make you want to be more like Jesus, just being around them.
Amen.
They just do. They are so delighted in the Lord. They are so sold out for the Lord. They're so in love with Jesus, you just want to be too. It's a gift. As a matter of fact, that might be one you'd be asking for. The gift of exhortation. They inspire you with gladness and with joy. The joy of the Lord which is in them. There are those who cause others to want to be a part of this church just because of what they see in you. They see in you, and they don't say it out loud or probably not even verbalize it in their mind, but the reality is that, man, I want some of that.
Yeah.
I want some of what she's got. I want to feel like the way I see him smiling and enjoying life. And
amen.
Yeah. No, it's not going to be my telling you what you got to do because the Bible says it. It's going to be my showing you what to do because Jesus loves you.
Amen.
You get to do these things, folks. And I learned something about the Lord a long time ago, and If you do it because you think you have to, he's really not very interested in it. He's interested in what you're going to do because you love him.
Amen.
And because you want to.
Right.
Now, you may not be called to preach, but your life is a sermon a whole bunch of people are listening to.
Amen.
A lot of people are listening to your sermon every day. What is the message of your life preaching to those around you? Is it a message of joy? Is it a message that of contentment and happiness? And now today we're all about showing our love to each other. Amen? This is Show Your Love Sunday. For us, that ought to be something that comes as naturally as breathing. It really should. Although every one of us is a work in progress, there really is a lot of love in this place. There really is a lot of love in this place. Romans 12 and 9, and it's going to be coming up in a couple of messages away. It says, let love be without dissimulation. Now, that's a word we don't use much. How's your dissimulation today, Daryl? Now, we don't use that word very much. Do you know what it means? It means let it be real. No, nothing phony, nothing fake, nothing pretended. Just let it be real. We should say, well, they might not like me much if I was real with them. Well, you better get real where they do like you much. Maybe you better change what real is. It's not hard to love people if you remember who loved you.
Amen.
I reminded a young man at a lumber yard this week that the person he was talking about and what they were doing was the same thing he's doing. What, you mean I was rude? I said, yeah, and I told him when he was. I said, and God says that there's one person you ought to judge, and guess what? It's not him. Who is it? It's you. I hope one day when he gets saved, he'll remember that I helped him out with that day. Jesus loved you when he went to the cross, and he paid for our sin, yours and mine, and for the sins of the whole world. And the great message of messages is that he died for our sins, and he was buried according to the Scriptures, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And the power of that message will keep you out of hell.
Amen.
The power of that message will set you up in a life that's worth living. It'll give you the joy of the Lord. It'll give you peace in your heart. It'll give you everything you need.